We are back for another week of Wind Against Tide. You look like you're going to try and butt in on me then, Adrian. But you didn't.
He's on the screen there. That's Mercury boss David.
Yes. So we are in the company of royalty. We have the big cheese of Mercury, Mr. Dave Meehan, the director of sales, the director of national sales, as I just found out.
You've been calling him CEO, boss.
I thought he was absolute top dog.
Definitely not.
That's what he's been telling me. But now the truth comes out anyway. But no, we've got big boss of, nearly big boss of Mercury, Dave Meehan in, which will be a nice thing for us, Adrian, because we will change things up from our tuna fishing dominated chat.
Yes, we will.
And we're going to talk a little bit about motors. So, welcome aboard, Dave. Great to have you in the studio.
It's been a while. We've been trying to make this happen for a while, so it's good to get here.
Yeah, yeah. We've been trying to line you up for a couple of months now, and the schedules have clashed. Me and Adrian have been jet setting. Dave's been the one that's been jet setting around Australia because obviously we're on the back end of COVID. Actually, I shouldn't say that. We're on the back end of COVID restrictions. So you've actually been doing a little bit of travelling. Where have you been, Dave?
Well, it's actually good to get back to a bit of normality and start getting out and about a bit. It's awesome. I was in Sydney last week. You know, anyone who says that the weather's been ordinary in Sydney, it was shocking last week. So anyone who wants to go fishing in Sydney, the water was chocolate brown and everyone's complaining about it. It's been raining for 3 months. So I get it now. I saw it firsthand.
Yeah,
they've certainly.
It's not just the Melbourne Sydney banter. You witness it.
I saw it last week, and it was pretty ordinary. We've been roaring around in V12s. We did. Obviously, you guys came out. When was that, in February, I guess? And then we did a roared up to Sydney. Did a showing of that to all some key customers in Sydney, and we also did the same thing in Queensland. So it's been really busy.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had a turn on the big V12, which I think we discussed on one episode, and there's a clip on our YouTube if you want to have a look at that, of us hooning around on that.
Yeah, our YouTube or Instagram.
There's some reels on Instagram as well. One of them's got like 400,000 views, which is pretty cool, Adrian.
So, you know, we sold a few motors for Mercury.
Gone viral. So that's going well. But I don't know why you bother getting anyone else on there after us, but apparently you did. So, the big V12, we may as well talk about that a little bit. So, would that be the biggest outboard motor available on the market at the moment?
Yep, certainly is. And it's new for us. That product was really designed for the US market, took outboard motors into 40 and 50 foot boats.
Yep.
And, they're putting 3, 4, and 5 of them on boats in the US. Whoa. That, they're massive. But in our market here, the interest that we've had in it, sort of 10 to 12 metre, 13 metre boats. We just launched the commercial version of it, the 500 version, last week. And, I reckon we'll sell a few. We've got a triple rig going on at the moment at Yammer Welding. That's like a big rib.
Yep.
And it's a recreational guy who's bought a 14 metre rib. He's going to go eco touring in the Kimberleys. He's doing a trip around Tassie.
Wow.
So that type of big boat is where that's going to go on.
Yep. Will he take an air compressor with him?
I'm sure he's got plenty on. He's got everything on that boat. I think he's got $100,000 worth of electronics on that thing.
Wow. Yeah. Nearly as much as Adrian's tinny.
Not quite.
I'm sure he's got one of those little bicycle repair kits on him, Adrian.
Yeah.
You just put the little patch on and pump her up again.
Well, David Meehan said he was using a leaf blower, so maybe that's a good idea.
We did use a leaf blower to pump the thing up, so.
Yeah. No, that was actually a weapon of a boat, that thing. Couldn't believe how – well, it wasn't exactly rough, but it certainly seemed like it handled quite well, the old inflatable.
I was amazed at the torque. It just, like, threw you back in your chair. I think it was a 4-ton boat, was it?
And yeah, it
just
is.
Threw us back.
And it was amazing when the trip we did, the day you guys came out, it was flat as a tack.
Yeah.
And then in Sydney, it was rough, like it was probably blowing about 15, 20 knots. And normally when we're doing demoing boats in a 6-metre boat and it's a bit uncomfortable, but that 11-metre rib, you can go out in anything. It was fantastic and not wet. It was good.
Yeah, it's surprising how dry it is, really.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, so that's, well, probably one of the main really cool things that's been happening at Mercury, but there's all sorts of other. Well, Mercury's sort of in the last, 2 to 3 years of really taken the market by storm with a whole bunch of new developments in the marine industry. It seemed like there was a period there where Merc, like, not being rude or anything, but they weren't certainly weren't the preferred outboard. They had a little bit of a reputation, but I think in the last few years, the company's gone a long way to turning that around. What would you sort of attribute that to?
It's a fair call, and like, I've been with Mercury for over 20 years now and seen the trials and tribulations of good product and bad product, but it started about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. The first really cool product we bought out was the new 150, and that was what changed with that four-stroke engine. Like, Mercury was known as a two-stroke company.
Yeah.
And that was
the Opti Max.
Yeah, the Opti. And we sold heaps of them, and they're really, really good motors. They're awesome on fuel. They fantastic power and all that sort of stuff. They're like, they're a really good motor. And everyone who owns one generally loved it. But the 150 was the first new four-stroke that we bought out that changed the game. And it was, and it, everything's followed since. And it's three things. It was big capacity, lightweight, and simple.
Yeah.
And the, and so it started with that 150. And then that was probably, I don't know, about 2015, 2016. And then 2018, we had this secret project called Great White. And we have these internal code names for these new products. And it was called Great White.
I like Flying Monkey. I can't wait to see that one.
Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
And like, we knew Great White was coming out because we always had Verado. Like, we had, you probably know, the four-cylinder Verado and the six-cylinder Verado, the supercharged outboards.
Yeah.
They were actually really, really good products, but people were a little bit scared of the supercharger. And
they sound marvellous.
Yeah, I'm not scared of supercharger.
Well, they were actually really good, and but, yeah, some people were scared of supercharging, and we bought out these new V6 and V8, and the same as that 150, they were huge capacity, really lightweight, and, man, it's just changed the game. And ever since then, we've just been chasing our tail, trying to keep up with the demand on them and breaking into new dealers, new customers, new boat builders. Been awesome.
Yeah.
And guys like yourselves and charter fishing guys and commercial guys and things like that that have run competitive product in the past.
Yeah.
Now we're getting our second and third repeat orders, and it's pretty good. It's pretty,
yeah.
That's when you get that second and third order, that's when you know you've nailed it.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. I always ran Suzuki in the past, and they were great motors. Yeah. And so it was kind of through our affiliation or meeting you and through Brendan and stuff that we end up getting this, the Pro XS for my boat, which I knew the performance would be a lot better. Which it is, like, the similar to the 700, it is very talky.
Yeah.
And the thing that I really love about it is that I can sort of, I can really dial down my revs and cruise really comfortably now.
Yeah.
But yeah, the reliability, it's been really good. I've just gone over 500 hours, so ready for another one.
you got another 3,500 to go.
Oh
yeah.
Till I get a free one, or is it like a coffee? Well, you got to punch my order.
Exactly. Well, those Pro XS's are really talky because I went on Ace Jace's one. He's got a 445 Haynes or a Formula 51, whatever they're called, and he's got a 115 Pro XS. And my goodness, that is a talky boat.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a 2.1 liter engine. That's what it's all about. Like, big capacity, and they're light too. That's the lightest 115 on the market. So. And the other thing we've sort of found, and you would have experienced it on that 600 that we ran, I've been doing lots of demos with people who run competitive product, and one thing that I'm also really getting now, and not so much on your Pro XS, but on the standard product, I really think anything sort of 115 and above are the quietest engines on the market. They're like super quiet, and at mid-range and top end, like, we can have a conversation when we're going along fishing. and it does make a difference.
Oh, big time.
Mm.
Yeah. But even my motor's quite quiet at cruise. It's just got that sports exhaust and idle, yeah. Which is a bit.
If you're casting poppers out the back and you got your GoPro going, all you hear is this drone.
Yeah. But the tuner like it. Yeah. They come up and
they
say,
do, like, actually. We've hooked them like literally meters from the back of that outboard.
And yeah. Like, well, actually, cool. Funnily enough, we were chasing kingfish a couple of years ago, and every time I turned the motor off, the school would just disappear.
I remember you told me, though, you told me about that Suzuki you had, and it used to bring fish up. And
yeah.
Has the Pro Access cut your fishing numbers down? Or?
Well, I went through a bit of a lean patch because I wasn't really able to travel, obviously, with COVID and stuff, and then the little one coming along. But, yeah, the last couple of trips on that boat, we got a 60 kilo and one around 90 to 100, which we tagged and released. And they were both pretty well blind strikes, which indicating that the fish came up to have a look at what was going on with us.
Yeah.
So, well, that's what I'm saying anyway. So, yeah, certainly seems to still be doing the job. That was my main worry, and that has been addressed. So, quite happy there. So, one of the trips you said to me earlier that you've got coming up is you're heading over to America to do on a big junket.
You're going on a junket.
On a big American junket. I'll
tell
junket.
You what, I used to go to the US once a year religiously, and I'll tell you what, COVID, it's for someone who travels all the time, for me it was I've really missed it. I've missed we catch up with all the –
Hang on, Dave.
We catch up with all the engineers and all the sales and marketing people over there online, but there's nothing like being there, so I'm really looking forward to getting over there again and be good.
Your family probably liked COVID because you were probably – around about it, or maybe you annoyed them all.
Oh, I reckon my wife's pretty keen for me to get back out and about again. So. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. So all the motors are manufactured over in America, is that right, or is it just certain models?
Yeah, yeah. But all the big stuff, pretty much from 75 and above is manufactured in the US.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So they've got, is it one big factory? You were telling me.
It's in Fond du Lac in Wisconsin.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so it's about, I don't know, 3 hours north of Chicago, so you fly into Chicago, drive up there in the Midwest. It's really cool. It's a great the
Midwest.
Town. Yeah.
Gunslinging.
That's it. Past Harley Davidson and all that sort of stuff. So.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, was that the one you were going to, they do ice fishing there or something
as
well?
Yeah, all the sturgeon fishermen. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sturgeons.
You know, Jonah went there, didn't he, to catch sturgeons?
Yeah, he caught sturgeons.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what country it was in.
I think it was US.
Was it?
So yeah. They drive out in the ice in these. They make these ice trucks. They cut the floor out of the car, and they just sit in there and drink booze, and fish in a hole in the ice.
So they're sitting in a truck with a hole in the truck
with some sort of fire, probably keeping them warm because it's minus 20.
That sounds. You know who would love that kind of fishing, Adrian? Brendan.
Oh yeah, he doesn't have to leave. His,
wouldn't even
he would have
to get
an
out
armchair. Do you remember one tea tree competition? He dragged an armchair out of his lounge room and put it in your gunshot. And me and David just squished to the gunnels. Like, there's just a giant armchair taking up the whole boat.
Yeah, I do remember that. And I fought to have that thing barred from the boat. But, at least he was comfortable, you know. So, yeah. So, one of the things I was going to ask is recently we've had interest rates and stuff go up a little bit. The price of living has gone up a little bit. So what do you think that will mean for boat manufacturers? Because it's probably more of a luxury item, probably not most people's priority, but do you think that that's going to impact you guys, or you think that it's probably going to keep on flowing along?
It's probably a bit early to tell. Like, we're sold out pretty much on 75 to 450 horsepower till January, February next year. So there's a lot of – everyone's gone and ordered their boats and they're not getting them for months and months. So it may do a little bit. I still don't know why people stop buying because of there's an election. I've never stopped buying anything because of an election. Have you?
Yeah.
You have not.
I'm deathly afraid that the Greens will get in and my motor will be useless.
Oh, dear. Well, it's funny you say that because in America, I think it is, they actually banned gas-powered lawnmowers and whippersnippers. So it's only battery-only, like electric-only.
Yeah,
I think that's by 2023 in California, No more gas lawnmowers.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, that brings me to my next question, actually, Adrian, because we know Mercury have come out with some great technology lately, but what is on the horizon? Can you tell us anything? Will you tell us anything, Dave? Come on.
The only thing I can tell you about, there is heaps on the go, and most of it I can't tell you about.
What about Operation Soaring Eagle?
I'm on their Instagram page right now, and I scroll down. Oh, what's this thing? Oh, wow.
That thing, yeah, I can tell you about that. That's exciting. So
looks like a heat gun.
Yeah, that looks like a little tiller steered outboard thing, is it?
Yeah, so Avator is our entry into electric outboards. It's something that Mercury really sees a market for that, and emission requirements are going to force us into it, like you say, at some stage. The biggest challenge with electric outboards is the battery technology. So you can go and build an electric outboard, but it's the battery life that is the key to it all. So you're going to see it in portable outboards next year. In portables. And
you'd think it'd be like on a tender boat for a 50-foot yacht, just moored out there on the swing mooring, and they come into shore. They just slap it on their little tender and
Perfect for that. And like with a little four-stroke now, like a 3.5 or something like that, you got to lay them down on one side when you're storing them.
Because of the oil.
Because of the oil and little things like that. So that's where an electric outboard, if you can, like in your mower, you can throw the battery in and off you go. But, again, you're only going to be able to travel so far because of the battery technology. So one of the things that Mercury is really doing is, I don't know whether you see, it's public knowledge, but we've got a system, a division within Mercury called the Advanced Systems Group, and that's about we've bought battery companies and we're working on autonomy for boats, and there's a whole lot of secret squirrel stuff going on over the next couple of years that that we're working on and building these batteries that are going to be right for the marine environment and give you that durability and longevity.
Great. Our listeners are going to be the first to find out too, especially if we just make some random guesses right now. What I think we should do is have some like charging stations on like the oil rigs offshore, Adrian. So just drive straight in, plug in.
Yeah, like a Tesla charging car park.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Great. But you'd think, you know, those big boats running gensets all night would be charging their little tender motors, so it'd be ideal. Yeah. Or a solar panel.
Well, yeah. I imagine the acceleration you could get out of an electric, much like electric cars, would be quite insane.
Yeah, so I've heard they're pretty talky, so they'll be more expensive than a petrol four-stroke engine.
Okay.
I like everything.
Yeah. Is it the battery or the actual thing itself?
Both.
Yeah.
Price gouging.
not that.
Not that.
No. But like anything, it was remember when we had two strokes and then we bought out four strokes? There was
no one wanted four stroke.
And well, people still will still sell four strokes, and we'll probably sell more volume of them than we will electric outboards in the little stuff for a period of time. And then emission regulations will probably change, and then who knows?
So emission regulations, you're just shifting the emissions elsewhere, basically.
The lithium problem.
Yeah.
I
noticed a nice Ram truck on that Instagram page you were on before, Adrian.
Oh, yeah.
Looks nice.
What happened to that Ram truck?
Oh, it's the one that was towing the big big Merc. It just looks good.
But what is going to be cool about electric outboards, I reckon, will be do you have many inland listeners and things like that?
Yeah.
So I think.
Maybe.
Jonah loves Murray cod, so he'd be into this.
You think about, like, even for Jonah down in Tassie, like my mate's really into his fly fishing down there. There's a heap of electric-only lakes.
Yeah,
and definitely.
Are you kidding me? Electric-only?
Yeah. There's also, like, Blue Rock Dam in Victoria.
I've heard of all them, but I didn't know they were electric-only.
So you can have the, you know, your motor guide on the front of your boat. Some lakes you can't have the outboard actually bolted to the back. You've got to take it off.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the good thing about electric outboards is you'll be able to actually have the main propulsion as your electric outboard.
I did notice Brendan drove down a rocky road for a few kilometres and got to a place called Wingan Inlet and noticed it was 20 horsepower only, and he had his 100 horsepower.
Yeah, one of those classic Brendan Wing situations. Very drove down a goat track and took hours to get there. Saw a sign because he hadn't done proper research.
Was that like Man's Beach?
It was somewhere. Wingan Inlet, isn't it? That's somewhere up around Tyres, isn't it?
No, it's on the way to New South Wales, I'm pretty sure.
No, I went there with him. We went fishing at wasn't near Port Albert, Man's Beach.
I think that was a different thing.
I went there with him and we got there and I was so excited about going fishing at the mouth of Man's Beach. And when we got there, I reckon the boat ramp was about 50 metres from where the water was. It was low tide.
Is this where you went gummy fishing in the channel there?
That was awesome.
I remember saying that, That's on UFish TV. YouTube, if anyone wants to look that up. Can't remember what it's called because Brendan changes the names frequently. But
small child catches gummy shark.
Yeah, Finn caught a 15-kilo gummy or something. It was a cracker.
Yeah, it's funny how these things seem to work out. another classic adventure, but... excuse me. So one of your other roles that you've been doing, and you just told me earlier that you've just finished up there, is you were high up, or what was your actual role there with Better Boating Victoria?
No, I was a president of the Boating Industry Association.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And we worked
with... Is that a government-funded thing?
No. It's the Boating Industry Association looks after all the... boat dealers and marine retailers, chandlery, yacht clubs, all that sort of stuff. It's an industry organisation. So I did that I was on the board for 8 years. I really enjoyed it just to give a bit back. And, part of that, we obviously work with the government, and one of the big mantras that we've been pushing really hard is every boat registration and your licence fees – it equals $32 million every year that is supposed to go into a fund to improve boating facilities.
Yeah.
And, like, for years and years it wasn't being spent appropriately. They'd probably spend $5 or $6 million bucks a year and God knows where the rest of it goes. But
swindling.
Palmer United.
Yeah, probably.
How do I get on that board?
Yeah. So,
I'd like to swindle some cash.
Well, yeah, it was the government. Yeah, probably not putting in the right spot, but... I suppose in the last 2 to 3 years they established this government department called Better Boating Victoria.
Yep.
Some people are really critical of them, but I suppose one thing
– Adrian is.
What? There's a lot of things that they, you know, people want them to do, and they are listening and they've got a huge list of things that they want to do, but they're going to spend $32 million this year on boating infrastructure. And have a look around some of the projects that they are doing, like Rill. Like that's a shocking boat ramp.
Yeah.
That's been completely redone right now. There was the Mordialloc. Mordialloc Creek was done. The Hastings ramp's done. There's a new pontoon going on the right-hand side down at Hastings. Queenscliff's been redone now. Like they're spending a lot of money on doing up a lot of the existing boat ramps and trying to improve additional car parks. That's the thing that we've been pushing really hard for is you can have the best boat ramp in the world, but if you've got nowhere to park your car, what's the point?
Yeah, that's right. We definitely see that down at our local Stony Point these days. Up the hill. Parking but halfway back to my house. But it's good to see a lot of these things being addressed. And, I know people can be people can complain just for the sake of it sometimes, but – it's just great to see some progress being made.
Yeah. Are they involved in the fish cleaning stations as well that I've seen pop up everywhere?
Yep. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but there's one at Paddo now.
Yes, because I live literally near the ramp there and I've noticed it go up. I'm like, wow.
What do you think about that?
It's amazing because I reckon the Kingston Council obviously didn't want a fish cleaning station there for years because of the offal.
Yep.
They were awfully worried about it.
I was waiting for you. Dad pun there, but...
Thanks. I'm a dad. I'm allowed.
I think it's great because I often sometimes take tuna home. I'll clean it the next day, keep it on ice and...
not allowed to do that. It's got to be caught from the ramp that you're cleaning it at.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I clean it at home and, I just chuck it straight in my green bin and if it's not the green bin week, it...
It's not good.
Yeah, it creates its own ecosystem in the bin.
I do remember you doing that on a 40-degree day.
Yeah.
You thought you were really clever because you found out you could put offal in a green bin.
Yeah.
And after about 24, not even a day passed, I reckon, and it was rank.
Oh, there was maggots crawling out of it. It was insane.
It was literally like a couple of the hottest days of the year at Adrian. Yeah. Well, he was pretty clever because he put his tuna frames in that bin and then...
Now I know that you can... There's fish cleaning stations at Paddo, at Carrum there. I'm going to take advantage of it.
No, I don't actually know what the rules are, whether you can
drive why down. Not?
Yeah, you should be able to.
You
yeah.
definitely can do it. I think the main concern from people, because there were a few locals that were pretty unhappy about it, and it was probably more about traffic flow of people stopping and cleaning their fish and taking a while to clean their fish and holding up the flow. So,
well, they've pushed it right at the end near the gates there. Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't bottleneck things, but... see how they go. I think it's a good thing. And look, there's other things that they need to do. Like they've got to do dredging of, you know, rye and those sort of areas. And
that's Charlie Micklef's ground.
Yeah,
he normally organises that, doesn't he?
Yeah, like, and he's right. You know, like some of it's really, really bad. But it's a complex thing between councils and Better Boating Victoria and a whole lot of things that. A whole lot of people that need to coordinate and get it going. So they've got a few solutions to try and fix that.
Yeah, good to hear. Why have you stepped down? Just sort of?
Oh, just busy, you know, like I've got so much going on at Mercury. I've been doing it for 8 years. Give someone else a crack at it. And I need to, like I said to you before, I'm starting to travel again and I've just got heaps going on. So we've got lots of new product releases and things happening over the next couple of years and heaps going on. So
Very exciting. Yeah. Well, thank you for letting us ask you a few of those questions. It was good to find out a bit more about yourself, Mercury, the Better Boating.
I think there's Victoria. A few more questions for question time for
there
you.
There is, but you are most welcome to add your input at any other point of the podcast because we will go through a few of our other regular segments, Adrian.
Yes, I've got a challenge for you, Dave.
I've heard. I'm a little bit worried about
because
it.
Because you brought up this internet sensation the other week. Right. So I'm going to play a little clip here and you're going to see what you're about to do.
Okay.
the tornado beer.
I wish I didn't just open another beer.
Well, I tried to stop you. But do you reckon Dave can do this?
100%. That's you.
The tornado beer.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Sculling is one of
this guy's breaking bottles with his bare hands. I don't want you to do that in my office.
No.
So?
But good on that guy. What, you want me to scull a beer right now?
I want you to try this tornado beer that you brought up about a week ago. Here he goes.
Okay, everyone. For the audio listeners, I'll...
Am I going to get wet here? Or?
I don't think so.
All right.
Crack it open. Guys. I'm going to move back from the mic so there's no beer soakings of the microphone. And if you look behind me here, we've got a beautiful new backdrop, don't we, Adrian?
Oh, yeah, the banners. That's where our live on the road shows when we go to New Zealand and stuff with Dave, me and here.
No. Yes, we're basically got Dave here so we can get invites to some of the shows. Basically, we want to hijack a bit of Mercury's stands because we're too poff to pay for our own. And we're going to do some live podcasting, just grab random people as they walk past. I think it'll be hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway, Dave's going to try his tornado beer for those listening on, on the podcast.
I don't really know what this is.
He's gone. did it tornado? Yeah,
see that? Tornado. That was real.
Yeah? He's got that a lot really of tornado. That's good.
A lot of
I was actually impressed that you did that.
It actually tornadoed.
It did?
Wow.
Excuse me for one moment, people.
You're a bit ginger there.
No, I've got a lot of air trapped in me. I'm not sure.
Is that from the tornado?
Yeah.
Dave Meehan just attempted, but he gave up. No.
No, I haven't got enough left in my beer.
Oh, there's one there. I'm not going to have any more.
No, that's fine, mate.
Don't drink in podcasts, people, even though we do it every week.
So very you're good, Adrian. You're thank you for internet that. Sensation now. I'm going to post that on.
Can we get a stop YouTube? Clock on that? I reckon that was pretty quick.
Yeah.
There was a lot of froth at the bottom. I feel held me up a little bit.
For those listening on their podcast in their car, I'm going to put it on an Instagram clip later and make sure you see Dave do the tornado.
It was quick. I'm impressed with myself. You went fishing today, Adrian.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Tell me all about it, please.
You know what?
While I burp over
you
here.
You know what? You'd been giving it to me for a lot, and I've been giving it to you back because all we do. Oh, no, he's dying here. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to.
Bit of the kebab from earlier.
Did he drop his guts?
No.
Oh.
Kebab from earlier.
Anyway, so you'd given it to me because all we do is tuna fish.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to do something different.
Well, I'm giving it to you because I don't plan on stopping tuna fishing, but I do notice we talk about it a lot.
Yeah,
so I was quite pleased that you went and did something else.
Yeah, so I went out today and basically, you know, I was at the factory here at work and it was about 8 o'clock and I go, oh, my goodness, there's a tide change at 9 o'clock. And it's going to be flooding soon. So I went down at 9 o'clock, it launched, and literally the tide started flowing when it got to Tyre Bank there. Yes, I fished Tyre Bank.
Now, I work literally across the road from you, which is, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I quite often see you drive past with the boat on the back as I'm at work.
Do you?
Which is a bit upsetting, but lucky I wasn't there today. But I did get a message saying I'm squidding.
Yes, you tried to call me. Okay. I think you wanted me to pick up steel and like, no.
Yes, it's all right. I went and got it myself. But, yeah, so carry on.
Yeah, and the tide just started trickling there off the bank and literally threw out some lassoed out some whiting out the back and literally hooked up straight away and it was on.
That's good.
I haven't squid fished in a long time.
No.
And it was good to get a couple of quick ones.
That's awesome. How big?
About that big.
Oh, yeah?
Nice.
Yeah. Mediumies.
Yeah, mediumies.
Now, did you keep the ink sacs? Because we want to do some more Gaia tacoing.
Yes. I thought I'd give some taco.
Some tacos.
Some
tacoing.
As you see behind me in there, there's a nice ink printed snapper there.
Look at that. I framed that up for you. Actually, me and my old mate Paul from work did that one for you, Adrian. So,
yeah, so I'm going to give that a shot later this season with some kind of fish or squid. So I collected the insects today and they're in my fridge now.
Awesome.
Or,
yeah, I reckon it'll be really good. Your wife's going to be pleased if she sees that.
Why would she be pleased?
The ink sac.
In the fridge. She'll be what's this black thing
she'll
in the
like,
fridge?
What are you doing?
Who did that one?
Neil.
One of our mates, Neil, did that one, which is awesome. So
he also did the one behind me somewhere.
Yeah, there's a big tuner over there. That one didn't come out so good. But we sort of, it was interesting to learn, to watch how he did it. So we reckon we could probably give it a crack next time.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was nice just to have a relaxing, you know, quick hour or two on the water and not, you know, get thrashed offshore trying to find these tunas because I did lose one last week.
So we didn't. We didn't get to discuss this on the podcast because, let's be honest, we wanted to go out there again before anyone else knew about it. But, you had a little bit of experience.
Yeah, well, my mate had messaged me saying, oh, I've got a couple of schoolies, you know, in this spot and, yeah, you should go out there. So I just took my snapper rods again and, yeah, I won't do that again. I've done it already and it happened again. And I worked this bait ball that was absolutely insane, Dave. There was gannets just bombing everywhere, terns, seals, dolphins, all on one little bait ball. And I worked for over an hour. Then I got the hook up.
Yeah.
Didn't last long, maybe 5 minutes. Mm. And my drag was quite sticky on my 10,000 Gosa and had about 300 meters of line out and just could not stop it. And my braid snapped. Something must have ran into the line or something happened. And
I'm pretty sure I told you to take the Tiagras the night before. But
you did.
You just like your snapper rods.
And, so I lost a local big bluefin.
Ah, don't worry about it. Like, you know, we hook probably one of them every 20 trips. So,
well, I've been involved in two over 6 years.
Yes.
And lost them both. So,
yes. few and far between. But anyway, that's pretty exciting. So,
It's exciting times out there.
We have had people out since and it's, as is always the case locally, it's kind of moved through a little bit. But
yeah, I think if you're going to do it, you have to keep going out there and then it will happen eventually.
Yeah,
but which you is can't what we just do. Go. Yeah, you yeah. can't just go because someone caught one 3 days ago. Because
no.
as you know, things just change.
Yeah, it really does.
Out there.
So, is it worth going out there any more local, or everyone's heading down to Apollo Bay, Portland, that sort of thing?
Anywhere between now and September, you're a chance out there.
Yeah, right.
There's been school fish out locally. So our
that's why I went.
Sean Dennehy went out last week, I think it was. Was it last week, Adrian?
Yeah.
Off Flinders out the western entrance, and he got a few small fish. And then
stealing Dave's beer here.
Yeah, no, go for it. I don't really want it. And then, yeah, the next day there was some caught out the eastern entrance, so down towards Cape Patterson.
They're still there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about still there or whether more came through.
Well, last year we got them up until late June.
Yeah, they got really small.
Yeah, like literally like 4 or 5 kilo fish.
Yeah.
It was like, who can catch the smallest one?
Yeah. We're talking about tuna again. So what part of Western Port did you get these squid, Adrian?
I said Tyabb Bank.
Like, oh, did you?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Now, this time of year, Tyabb is really good.
So is that just beta jigs? No.
No, I did catch a few on the cast. Oh, yeah. I caught four. So I caught 8 in total, 4 on the hand lines and 4 on casting.
Yeah.
So it was actually really productive. The only reason I stopped because I didn't want to get sucked into being out there all day, and I'd already caught a quick, you know, couple quick ones, and then I'm like, nah, it's time to go. Otherwise, I'll get sucked in all day, as you do. Yeah.
Mm. Have you been fishing, Dave? Because I know you have your holiday house at Invox, so you do a bit down there.
Yeah, no, I had a good session down there on the Whiting, actually. I usually drive back to Coronella, so I had a fish and had a great couple of sessions there. But I was thinking about you guys last weekend. Went fishing on Saturday on a pure whiting mission, flood tide, tortoise bank, but it was wind against tide. It was a nightmare.
Hashtag wind against tide.
I'll tell you what, I didn't enjoy it at all. But, it was nice to be out there. I was desperate to get on the water. So
yeah, nice. Well, that's when we want people thinking of us when they're having a horrible time with wind against tide. So we want them associating our brand with bad times, don't we, Adrian?
Oh, yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. Well, that's basically what it is, isn't it? Two terrible things going against each other.
That's right. Me v you.
We got a feeder whiting, which was good. It was a bit windy for squid fishing, so
yeah,
pretty keen to get out there for a squid fish, guys. When these big ones start coming in soon, I'd imagine. Well,
normally this time of year, you do see some mega ones, especially off that north arm. I've noticed over the last few years, but yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to a few big ones myself.
Yeah, well, it is this time of year I find that north arm of Western Port, the quantity isn't always the best, but you will get some really big ones coming up into the warmer water of the north arm. But it sounds like you got quite a few in a short space of time. So,
honestly, my tips are always take some hand lines. I keep them on my boat. I've actually got baited jigs in my freezer right now. Just literally
ready to go.
Take the spike out and hook it on my hand line and ready to go.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Awesome.
They just sit on anything in your boat that, you know, a rail or whatever, and as soon as you're on, it just starts going.
So do you squid fish to eat them or
bait? Yeah.
Or mainly bait?
Yeah.
They're a very versatile bait. Everything eats squid.
Oh, yeah.
You can't go wrong having some of them in the freezer, from whiting and snapper up to swordfish.
You know, I did hear some rumours of guys catching squid off that bank over the last few weeks, that there were some kings attacking squids as well.
Yeah.
So I was very tempted to put one out.
Not sure if we were allowed to know that, but a good friend from a local tackle store informed us that there were some big kings up there chasing.
Oh, big kings. I thought it was little ones.
No, no.
Okay.
You did say that to him and he corrected you, but obviously you didn't listen. There you go. Know they were a metre plus.
Oh, wow.
Which I think, as we see the kingfish population grow, we'll see them in these shallow.
Yeah, so I just gave away someone's secret intel.
Yeah, well, it was weeks ago. So. Hey,
why are you giving away intel? What depth are you in today?
3.8.
Common squid depth ever on Tyabb Bank. So.
Well, on Tyabb, it can go from like 3 to 5, like pretty quick, but the tide was quite good, so I was just drifting along that, you know, magic zone the whole time.
Yeah, nice.
I didn't even have to chuck the electric down, because normally I do chuck it down to keep myself on a certain area.
Yeah.
But the drift was good today.
Did you do any prop testing today, Adrian? Have not given up on your Renegade. You're still trying to get it to go faster.
63k an hour I've got so far.
Yeah. Have you you lifted the motor again?
Okay, so this is incredible.
Mm.
Like, I'm getting amazing stern lift.
Yeah.
It's not cavitating and the grip is like out of this world. Like, you got to go on it, Dave.
Yeah.
It is a little rocket. I mean, it's just like, what's he
doing? As you would in a 4.2 metre boat with a 70 horsepower.
Yeah.
It's
all legal.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
It is now, yeah.
Yeah.
But Adrian's got a real desire to get to eke every bit of performance out of that boat, which, good on you. It's a bit of fun. So,
the fastest 420 in Australia.
It probably is, Adrian. It probably is. Now, while we're
unless Dave wants to give me a Pro XS to put on the back just for a week just to try it.
No, he won't do it. They're scared.
Yeah, we're too scared. Yeah.
We're professional athletes here. We're not amateurs.
It's true.
Did you see those tinny races on Travel Guides last night?
No.
That's you. Tinny. In South Australia, in Renmark. You got to check it out.
Like,
serious tinny racing in South Australia. It's a big thing.
Okay.
Tinny bashing.
That's in Queensland where they do that. They're drifting on their sterns and whatever.
Mm. Don't they all have like racing. The big tiller two-stroke Yamaha Enduros and
they
and
put
stuff
like four-blade stainless things on so they can just get the torque like this. And
it's a big thing. They've got clubs that do it and races. It's huge.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, right. We'll have to check that out.
You could go in there as the stock boat.
Yeah. Yep. I would probably lose with a 4 kilo transducer on the back.
Yeah, she's got some weight in her. While we're talking about fishing reports, I reckon we should go through the hookup and see what else is happening, Adrian. Welcome to the hookup. Welcome to the hookup indeed. So as you've just heard from Adrian, we've got some squid happening in Western Port, but I know there's squid also in Port Phillip at the moment. Some big ones coming in. Dave's already told us there's some good whiting happening in Western Port. Preferably, you do want to get wind with tide for them. So that tortoise head area always really good this time of year. But I've seen some stacks, some whiting stacks happening, Adrian.
Oh yeah, stacks.
They never stop.
Have you made your whiting stack wine rack for the bait boards yet?
No, I've been a bit busy, but it's on the drawing board. I do think there's certainly a market for it because there's nothing worse than stacking your whiting and they slide all over the place. I do wonder how long some people take to stack those whiting up.
And they've got to sit on the outboard and be perfectly still
because
it could all go terribly wrong.
It could. They could fall in the water, but worth it for the stack photo.
Yeah.
Are
you a whiting stacker?
I am. I've got a stable boat too. Mine's stabler than yours.
No, I don't think it is.
It is.
I've been in your boat.
I know, but it's stabler.
It's not stabler than mine.
I've never even heard that word in my life, stabler. Is that something you like connect pages together or something?
Something like that.
I'm sorry, but I must disagree with you there. They're both wonderful vessels though.
I thought you fish out of your jet ski.
I tried that once and I figured out why you have a boat to fish. Have you ever tried anchoring on a jet ski?
Oh, you anchored
I tried, yeah. I bought an anchor and,
I thought jet skis were just for using between the months of January and February on beaches doing donuts.
Oh, my kids. So my kids that don't talk to me, they love going on the jet ski and now they talk to me. So that's a positive. So anyone who wants to talk to a 15 and a 17-year-old, I'd highly recommend getting a jet ski.
Yeah, do they have Pro XS's on them?
No, I bought a Sea-Doo 230. But I'll tell you what it is really good for.
Is that the turbo one?
I don't even know, to be honest. I don't even know what's under the lid, what the engine is. But all I know is it goes really fast. It does about 100 kilometres an hour and it's good fun. But tell you what's really cool is I do holiday down in Inverloch and there's a really nasty bar at Inverloch and I can't be bothered. Risking my life, driving my boat over the Inverloch bar. I'm just not interested.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this jet ski, it is so easy to get over the bar. So I did my first trip over the bar and did that. We're into, 50 centimetre whiting off that Inverloch beach there. It's pretty cool. So I'm going to explore that a little bit more this summer. I can't wait.
Yeah, cool. For those listening, your boat is a what? What is your boat?
I've got a Haynes Hunter 585R.
Nice.
And a 225 V6.
Honda.
Mercury.
Oh, Mercury. Okay.
V6.
Awesome. Awesome job.
Awesome boat. Love it.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. Yeah, I've been in your boat. So
that's good.
Bit of a pocket rocket.
Yeah, it's good.
We wanted to boost Dave's motor's performance. Is there a way we can tune it?
The Pro XS?
Yeah.
Yeah, we pull it off and we take a 250 off and put a 300 on.
Well, I'd have to talk to Adrian's re-rating mates.
Yeah, if it's the same weight, they'll do it. That's basically what they said.
Oh, well, my boat, the Edencraft, I've seen one with a 400 Verado on it lately down in, when I've been tuna fishing.
Is that the same weight?
It's heavier.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got a bit of a story for you on changing engines because I just changed mine a couple of months ago. So,
same.
So I had a – I was waiting for that.
Why don't you put your hat on, Adrian?
Oh, yeah.
That's a really bad hat.
You reckon?
Yeah, do you want one of these? Yeah, have one of those.
Guys.
By the way, me and Dave were wearing matching jumpers and that was not on purpose.
Dave bought these in because he can't get rid of them, so we're going to try to get rid of them for him.
Look, you want me to do a pure hat judging, not brand judging?
Yeah. This one's more of a teenager snapback.
Very hip. I'm sorry to tell you, but the one that Adrian's wearing is probably going to appeal to the younger market a little bit more.
We've got them. We've got that version of the younger market. I'll send you one.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Hit us up. Good to know. Where were we?
You put on a new motor.
I had a – remember when I first got my boat, you came out, I had a V6, 225.
Yep.
And you got the V8 and I was jealous.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got to give that a go. And so I ordered a – so I had a 225 V6, did about 43 knots, awesome package.
Yep.
And then I wanted to give the V8 a try because we get lots of people ask us, what's the difference between a V6 and a V8? And so I had the perfect boat, perfect chance to do that repower. So I put a V8 225 on.
Yep.
So same horsepower, same boat. V8's probably 10 kilos heavier, so weight's not really an issue. But I found I really enjoyed the V8. And really the only difference between the V8 I actually didn't gain a whole lot of speed, and that's to do with gear ratios and a few things on that Pro XS.
Yep.
So the V8 was really torquey. I didn't gain any speed. Probably used 5 litres an hour more fuel at top end speed. Every time I started it, I was thinking, "How good is this? I love this." And especially when I'm squid fishing, I really loved the sound of it.
Yeah.
But in the end, I've gone back to the V6, and the reason I went back to the V6 was, just a little bit better on fuel. Talking 5 litres an hour, quieter for me for how I use it.
Yeah.
But both of them were awesome. But it was line ball on my boat. So
okay.
Just in my experience, I went back to the V6.
Yeah. Can you tune them to like 98 fuel, like octane?
You can run 98.
Yeah, so it's got a sensor that will know. So you probably get better economy if you're running that as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but some of the other brands you actually have to run 98, whereas ours you can run them just standard unleaded.
Oh, I'm far too much of a tight ass to do that.
Yeah, me too.
Mine's tuned on 98, and the fuel economy is even better, like 4 kilometres a litre.
Hang on, you've been putting 98 in?
It's tuned to 98 only now.
Oh, God, you wanker. I would put water in mine if I could get away with it.
Yeah?
I might even try it.
I think Jonah was doing that.
Yes, he actually was. Jonah's been getting a cup full of water
in his bowl. He's emptying his bowl and it's just like, no, that's definitely water.
It's my fault somehow because it was my old boat, but I never had that much water in there. But anyway.
We'll get him into a Merc at some stage. He's on the way, isn't he?
He said he's
waiting.
Yeah.
He's ordered it.
Yeah,
he's ordered it, so.
Yes. And now, he's waiting for this guy's other motor to come so he can get that motor.
Well, he's getting an ex fish farm one or something.
Yeah, I think it's got like 500 hours or something on it.
So he's waiting on that one. So that'll be pretty cool. That'll make that boat perform even better.
We're still on the hook.
We've got
a live report coming from Jonah. He goes, it's on. So if you look on the screen here, Stewie Nichols has just gone out and caught a 85 kilo bluefin at an Eagle Hawk on a Laser Pro coral trout color.
Awesome. Looks like your old mate the Seals have had a little nibble at that one, Adrian.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. If you have a look at that, it has been chomped.
Yeah, very nice.
You ever fished down at Eaghawk?
No, I've seen it, though. Looks awesome.
Oh, mate, it was incredible when I went down there a couple of weeks ago. But the tax man down there is the old fur seal, and they chomp and chomp.
Yeah. If I had been invited, I probably would have seen that too. But
you've been down there.
Yeah, been down there many times.
I see the guys from Edencraft just did a tour down in Tassie. Where was the invite for you, Dave?
I know. I don't get it. I'm non-existent to those people.
Because we're not sponsored by anyone. We just buy our own things and do our own things.
It's because I bought mine secondhand. But I did notice they put a photo of my boat on their Instagram.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when Mark had it. And it had all the charter stickers on it.
And yes. It's a bit different now. A little bit cleaner looking.
Had some bow-mounted shotgun pole as well. Did you notice that?
No.
Oh.
Bow-mounted shotgun pole.
Oh, no, there's a big pole coming out the front near the windscreen.
Right. Okay.
Did you not see that?
No, I'll have to have a look. So back on the fishing reports. So, yes, thank you for that, Adrian. Live report. Stewie Nichols, good to see him amongst the tuna. We've got, obviously, still plenty of big tuna happening down at Port Macdonnell and Portland, although we've got some nasty weather coming through, so that might shake things up a little bit. For all those trying to catch a big tuna, if it's on your bucket list still, you haven't done it, I would recommend after this blow getting down that way somewhere because it tends to fire the fish up
a little bit. And we're just coming off a new moon as well.
Coming off a new moon, approaching the full moon can be a very good time to be fishing as well. Mm-hmm. So those southwest Victorian ports should be pretty good once that wind settles down a little bit, gives the fish a little bit of a break, lets them reset. They forget about the 5 million lures trolling over their heads and they can eat, although it takes a little bit to find out where they may have moved, so maybe it takes a little bit of time to work out what's happening there. But, yeah, it can really make them chew pretty good once there's been a good blow. But moving on from tuna, Adrian, we've actually still on the tuna.
Oh,
still on the tuna.
Yeah.
Yellowfin.
Yes. I did see.
Yeah, the long liners have been getting stuck into the fish, and a few wrecks have now started catching some yellowfin there. And I believe the Canberra Yellowfin tournament is coming up very soon, so good timing for that.
Yeah, very good timing.
Because quite often that tournament will see zero yellowfin caught.
Well, back in the day, that used to be a really prestigious yellowfin tournament.
Yeah, well, this was always the time of year, but these days we tend to see a more consistent yellowfin run later in the year. So,
okay.
Interesting.
The last kind of 5 years, I have noticed there has been a lot of April, May catches on the yellowfin. So it's a good sign, I reckon.
Yeah. Thanks for contradicting exactly what I just said. Yeah. But you'll also recall there was quite a few caught November-ish later in the year. So be keen to get amongst that.
Wind about against
that.
Tide.
Yes. Yes. A few people have actually pointed out to me that you do like to do that. So. It has been noted.
That's very good.
It is good. Well, we discussed the snapper and did we discuss snapper? Thought snapper?
Are they still going?
There's
what week are we up to?
I don't know, but they're still going. Oh, I was just saying to you before, I'm pretty excited about next snapper season.
Yeah,
about getting out there with the lures should be pretty fun.
Yes. We did it one trip last year. We got a 6 kilo fish and a couple of kilo dogs.
It's just good fun. Active fishing, casting lures and jigs and scoots.
Especially with the electric motor, it made a huge difference.
Yeah.
But you don't even have to use a normal anchor in Port Phillip anymore if you got one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. So using technology is beginning to open up, although people have been catching snapper on lures in there for ages, but it's making it a bit more enjoyable. You don't have to haul anchors up and that sort of thing. Even though you've got a button for your anchor, Adrian.
I do, yeah.
Got buttons for everything on that boat.
Yeah.
So the Port Phillip snapper, squid we've talked about because you got into the squid.
Yeah.
Kings at Mallacoota.
Yeah.
I think that's about – oh, I've got some plenty of Murray cod coming to a good time here for Murray cods.
Yeah, I've been discussing with good mate Chapman.
Oh, planning trips by my back again.
Behind your back,
Good stuff. I would have liked to have been involved in that, but no worries. Yeah, good to hear.
Well, he's got some new technology that we're going to see in the near future.
Does he? Is it a 130
no,
pop dog?
Definitely isn't.
Oh.
Technology. Electronics.
Oh, what's he got? Live scopes?
Well, I don't know if they're called live scopes in that brand, but the Hummingbird ones.
Hummingbird.
So we're going to see some great footage from that.
Mercury do electronics, don't they, Dave?
You guys own Navico, don't you?
Yeah, we do now, yeah. Simrad.
Should have bought my Simrad off you.
I've got a Gen.
I bought a 12-inch like 4 weeks ago.
Just so you know, Dave, I've got a GPS that belongs in a historical museum. So if Navico have any new mapping units that fall out of a truck or anything, I'm your man.
To get Bill Malonis on the drip.
Right.
Get him in here.
Just shirk the responsibility. That's it. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
So well, is Bill
not Simrad?
Is Bill like the boss of Navico?
Yeah, Bill's the man for Vic Taz. So Bill Malonis, you need to get him on here.
Yeah.
Loves his tuna fishing.
Okay, there you go.
Tuna fishing, all fishing actually.
We don't talk about tuna fishing, so we probably won't be able to.
Well, it's interesting. I'd like to chat about
That sounds good. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. And then I'll be able to hound him for a new chart plotter.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. Adrian's just bought a new one, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Got for it in full dollar bucks.
Yes, the big 12-inchy.
Yeah.
Are they good, though? Yeah, I've got a 12-inch Simrad on my boat. Mate, I love it. Amazing. Easy to use.
Yeah. And you know what? They're quicker than the 7-inches. I think the Evo S.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which has got a quicker processor in it, apparently, so it doesn't lag.
I just find them so easy to use. Yeah. They're great.
Boring.
Oh, well, Dave, hang on. If you've got, like, Namiya systems running through everything, it all goes through there and you want everything to be smooth and it doesn't get it.
No.
I don't have a gauge on my boat, Dave.
Don't
you? It's just that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, aren't you fancy?
I've got my audio running through it.
Yeah.
Listen to the cricket on the Simrad.
I've got my motor guide run through it, do zigzags on the map. And
perfect.
My sounder looks like a Nintendo 64.
You're falling behind, Dave.
I am.
It's not touchscreen, so you got to hold the left and
because I spend all my money tuna fishing, that's why. So I think that about wraps up the hookup. I had one question for you, Dave,
which
I was going to get to. Because I was watching something last night and I thought, Jesus, it'd be awesome. Yeah,
wasn't
that
a tornado B, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was a fishing show and they're in Costa Rica.
Oh.
And they were catching rooster fish.
Oh, I would love to catch one of them. Oh, they look amazing.
That looks so good.
Yeah.
So it made me think, what would be your bucket list fish, Dave?
Bucket list fish? That's a tough one.
A bucket on the end of the Tiagra.
Without any warning.
You got to have one fish that you want to catch, not just one.
Well, I've never caught a marlin, so I'd probably like to catch a marlin.
Yeah, they are incredible. Yeah. They're probably one of my favourite things to chase. They're exciting.
Yeah.
Especially if you're surface fishing, it is one of the most insane bites you can see. You just see like a dorsal fin tailing across your spread and then all of a sudden just whack, whack, whack. And
yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, they are cool.
Actually, I did have an experience about 3 years ago. I went to Groot Island. I don't know whether you heard a guy, Bomber Farrell. He lives up there on Groot Island.
Oh, yeah, the name. Yeah, I know the name.
Yeah, Bomber Farrell. He's a legend. And we went 3 days fishing at Groot Island, full on, cammed out on the boat. We went sail fishing and switch baiting that they do.
Oh, right, yeah.
Where that's the most exciting fishing I've ever done. You can see the sail come up and you throw the bait out. And I actually hooked up with one and lost it, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah. You do that on the stripes too. You get your big blue marlin lures without hooks on them and they tack them. You bring them right to the boat and almost hand feed the marlin like a bait.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah,
and you can actually see when they've solid it, so then you can turn the hook on it and hook it properly.
That'd be unreal.
Makes it exciting.
Well, we never got up there this year, but hopefully next year.
We talked about it a lot, saying we were going to do it.
Well, then we had all on the marlin.
Oh, yeah.
But then, we had all the floods and stuff, so we never really got to it.
No.
But, next year, Dave, hopefully you can join us and we'll head up there.
Well, I've actually got a gun that I can – I wouldn't mind taking you with me. We go on a roadie. You can say I don't take you anywhere. I've got a guy that I can take you with. Do you know George Lorances?
Yeah, I know George. Yeah.
George always
he's a Noosa cat.
Hammering me to get up there. He's a gun on the marlin.
Yeah, just go with him. He's better than me.
Oh, you should. Well, talk. Come with us. We'll go on a road trip.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
Nice little junket. I'm into junkets. All right. Well, good answer, marlin. Yeah, good to know. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up all the fishing reports I've got, Adrian.
Yeah.
Did we want to go and have a look at some of the questions that have been sent
in. Oh, yes. Yes, let's do it.
Viewers. So everyone jumping on our Instagram as usual and getting involved in the show, which is awesome to see.
We do have a few.
We do have a few.
Oh, first one's from Phil from Team Born to Fish.
Yeah.
Why is Adrian in Western Port today and not on Tuna? Has he given up on Target 100?
Well, can you see the board behind you that's still sitting on 20?
Probably not. No, I don't think so.
Okay. What have I moved?
No, I unplugged it by accident before that other camera when I was trying to get rid of static noise.
Good to know. All right.
Why have I? Because I've explained it earlier. I wanted to have a nice, relaxing fish and cast it some squids. But, Dave heckled me. He said, no more tuna fishing. We're sick of tuna. So I went squid fishing.
I only said that so that I could go tuna fishing. So that you'd do something different so I could go back on the tuna.
Ah, you tricked me.
Yes. All right, next question is actually from my brother.
Oh, and this one's directed.
From the same mother, Tom. What is the difference between normal engine Verado, Pro XS, etc., of the same horsepower, Dave? Maybe you could give us a brief outline of the different models that are available.
Yep. So probably the easiest is in the V8 range. So that starts from we have a standard, what we call a CMS, conventional midsection, 250 and 300. So it's just the plain black engine.
Yeah. Yep.
They all run the same block. They're all 4.6 litre V8.
Black or white?
Yep. You can get black or white in the standard conventional midsection. So it's the same midsection that a Suzuki or a Yamaha would run and Mercury. They all run the same midsection. Mm. But 4.6 litre, we all have our own, but that same standard midsection, right? So 4.6 litre standard engine, 250 or 300. You can run standard hydraulic steering or you can run power steering.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
the power steering's good because you can do auto without the module, can't you?
No, it's just smoother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's smoother steering. So
I've got standard.
I've got cable.
God, you're like in the stone.
Yeah.
Stone, you're like in the
I do.
The olden days, Adrian.
But like the Pro XS engine was designed really for performance bass fishing in the US and single engine installation. So you can't get a Pro XS in counter rotation. So So if you want to go twins, you've got to go
Verado.
CMS or Verado. Okay. So the easiest way to think CMS is good, Verado better. And Verado is standard with power steering, standard with a digital throttle and shift. You can turn the sound on or off if you want it loud. You can make it loud.
Hang on, I thought I had the top of the range. Telling me Verado is better.
Verado is the top of the range.
Oh, yeah. but I believe it's about 80 kilo heavier.
Than probably not 80. It's probably, I can't think of something, probably 50 or 60 kilos.
All right. Yeah. So at least I've saved some weight, you know.
So Brendan convinced you that the Pro XS was better than the Verado.
I didn't even get a choice. It just appeared on my boat, that motor.
Pro XS is a really good solution for a guy who is single engine, wants to go fast, runs at full wide open throttle the whole time.
Yeah.
Pro XS is the right engine for that.
Yeah.
If you're not on full throttle all the time and you want twins or even a single, the standard conventional midsection is a really good engine.
Yeah.
You can choose between power steering or standard hydraulic. So that's why you'd go if you want to run hydraulic steering and you want twins or simpler single, go 250 or 300 CMS. And if you want to go joystick and you want the bells and whistles, you got to go Verado.
Adrian will have a joystick next.
Got one motor.
You'll still get one.
They look amazing. When the two motors just go like this, it's just like, whoa.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, it'd be nice to be able to just parallel park sometimes, wouldn't it? Just
that's one thing. I've been over to the US and parallel parked a 36-foot boat and I can't drive a 36-foot boat, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Was it a Freeman?
It was a big Sea Ray.
Oh, Sea Ray.
Did you act more confident than Adrian did when he was parking the 600 horsepower?
Oh, the 11-metre boat.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing, guys.
Yeah.
You did well.
Yeah.
You did. You just didn't sound That's very harsh. Confident. Yeah, cool. All right. Well, great answers there, Dave. Thanks for that. Next question.
Luke McCredden.
Well, do you want to read that one out?
He's chucked in a token question like he always does.
I love the questions.
Serial pest questionnaire.
I love the questions Luke brings to the show.
They're good. So we got, why are passengers so quick to stand up when a plane lands, even though there is a significant time period between landing and actually departing the aircraft? Do you have an answer for that, David?
You're a traveller. Do you get up early or do you?
I get up early because I'm so I'm so big, and all I want to do is stand up because I'm absolutely in pain after sitting down for 2 hours. So that's why.
It is very fascinating because I see this all the time, and I just shake my head because often it's the window seat guys that are up and they've got bent necks just waiting to get out.
I'm the aisle man. I'm the aisle man, and as soon as I can get up, I'm up.
Yeah, I thought there might have been a little bit of that to it, just wanting to stretch. But you do certainly see some people that just think it's going to help them escape quicker than everyone else. Yeah.
I think it's just humans in general. They like to feel more important than everyone else, so they're going to be the one that has to get off first.
And when you're national sales manager for Mercury, then you need to be getting up. These people should be getting out of the way.
Mine's purely I need to stand.
Okay. What's your thoughts, Adrian?
That was my thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I said people feel more important than other people.
But what do you do?
Oh, me. I just wait
humbly.
Yeah, have my laptop out, just start doing things.
You could actually go the other way and just make a nuisance of yourself by not leaving, I reckon.
Well, normally I take the window seat because I like looking out stuff and taking photos, so I'm not in anyone's way. I feel rushed if I'm in the aisle seat because people are standing next to me. Okay, oh, geez, better grab my bag and go.
Very good. Next question.
Yep.
How far northwest of Port Mac have barrels been caught? Do they push up as far as Beachport?
You've got them off Robe, haven't you?
I've caught them off Beachport.
Okay, there you go.
Yes, 2015. Everyone was chasing at Port Mac. We all noticed they kept pushing to the west. And then the next weekend, we all just leapfrogged them. And we went to Beachport, which is a pretty cool little town. I don't think Beachport had ever seen anything like it at that time. I'm not sure a barrel had even come in there before.
Oh, wow.
Literally, we came in with this 118-kilo fish and we literally got mobbed. People were, like, pulling us up in the road. And,
how dare you kill our national icon?
That's a big yellow fin.
Because the yellow. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because it happens every time. I don't think they'd seen them before. Yeah. Like, all these – and, like, just all these big boats rolled into town. I think it was – just really abnormal for that place. So,
yeah.
Definitely Beachport, definitely Robe. And that year, a place called Cape Jaffa actually had an amazing big tuna bite.
So where's Cape Jaffa? I've never heard of it.
So, it's, I believe, about another hour west from Beachport.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly.
So, even further west.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're answering this guy's question quite well here.
Well, apparently the reef and stuff there is quite amazing, and one of the main challenges to catching these big fish when they were there was the amount of cray pots.
Yes.
Yeah, they were just littered through there on all the reef.
That's like fishing locally on the school fish.
But, yeah, one of our good mates and avid listener, Adam Todd, had a day there where I think he caught and released something like 9 barrels.
Whoa. In a day?
I think it was like less than a day, like half a day or something.
Are you kidding?
He was like getting them in like – because he was catching so many, he was just going full sunset
and
using his giant muscles.
He does look quite –
he's got giant muscles, guys. And he was getting them in like 10 minutes, just smashing their spirit. Just bam.
It's like those tagging him, releasing him. Black Tip H when he gets the big what they call the bodybuilders to wind the Goliath gropers in.
When they put the butt of the rod under their balls and like
these guys had muscles on muscles, and he just put it on full sunset and like – what was it, like 130-kilo outfits? It was just ridiculous.
130-pound.
Oh, I don't know. They had something ridiculous on it.
And they like sit on the rod.
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable. So, yeah, definitely Cape Jaffa. I'm sure they go further west than that. So I think I've heard of the odd bigger one off like Kangaroo Island and stuff.
They must go like, you know, north of Broome. Isn't that where they breed and stuff?
Well, I remember years ago there was one about like a keg.
Yeah.
An Adrian-sized keg caught off in the Rottnest Trench.
Okay.
Is that what that's called? somewhere there.
The island there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, because they get a lot of like real small juveniles through there as well. Yeah. So, definitely, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. The bigger, but generally, the real bigger, what we call barrels, seem to make an appearance regularly from Port Mac to the and further east. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. So, do you want to read out the next one there, Adrian?
Okay. What? So, I don't know which question you're up to.
One after the one that we just did.
What is process and products used when you guys do the stenciling of the fish like the snapper and the big tuna? Well, I think it's just squid ink and a canvas, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, yeah, we briefly discussed this. We're going to give it a proper crack. But, yeah, it's squid ink and basically a bed sheet. And then, yeah, you sort of roll the squid ink over the fish and lay the sheet down, and obviously there's a lot of skill involved in making sure that you don't put too much ink on or not enough and getting all the finer details of the fish.
Yeah.
I think it's
important that you have a fair bit of canvas sheet.
Yeah, so you can have multiple attempts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the issue with our big barrel. We had one sheet.
Behind me you can see the tail.
Yeah, we didn't quite put enough ink on there. So, yeah, we'll make a video when we do attempt this, see how it goes. So the next one we've got there is from The Roach Life. Top tips for sleeping at the boat ramp. Interesting one.
Oh, yes. I did that when I caught a few big tunas.
I've done this too. I did it for 3 days on my own one.
I think ideally you want as many pillows as possible because when you're sleeping on a chair, there's a lot of grooves and like air gaps. So you want to, you know, shove them in those gaps so your body's nice and balanced and you're not stressing other parts of your body.
Is this in the boat or in the car?
No, in the car. Well,
if you've got a boat,
yeah,
that's ideal because you can sleep in the boat. Like if you've got a boat with a cabin, it's ideal because you can sleep in the cabin. Yes. I remember doing it and I even cooked my dinner in the pie oven in the boat, so I was very self-sufficient. So, yeah, just a lot of warm blankets and stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Is what I'd go with. I think so. Yeah.
Because it does get quite dewy.
Don't make it obvious that you're sleeping there until it's like well after dark because most places you're not allowed to sleep at the boat ramp. But, you know, when there's no accommodation and the bite's on, you've got to do what you got to do.
It is a campaign that's, you know, you're supposed to rest before you drive. So
that's it.
Why not?
That's right. So next one from Bo Alley is, how many trips did it take you to get your first barrel? We're at about 13 now considering selling the boat. Is that all?
I'm pretty sure I did like 6 years of trying before I got my first one.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, you've been at it for a while. I think it took me probably about 3 to 4 years before I got my first one.
I think the key is just go all the time.
Yeah, that's it.
Time on water.
Time on water. That's right. You're only ever one trip away from your dream fish. So, yeah, stick at it. 13 trips, that's a good effort, but... any day now.
Yeah. No, 100%. Could happen tomorrow. Mm. Go tomorrow.
Yeah. Go tomorrow. Go after this wind.
Yeah.
What is your favourite fish to use on the baited prong, Adrian?
Look, normally I go the silver whiting.
Yeah.
But if they don't have that, I'm happy to just shove pilchards on it or any other yakka or something I can find in the freezer. Because they will, you know, they basically grab anything that moves, squid. So... if you got something that's tasty, they're going to hold on to it for a while. Because believe it or not, I didn't explain this in my fishing trip. Two of the squid I caught on the baited prongs weren't actually hooked. They were just eating it, holding on to it.
Mm.
And I wound it all the way to the boat. I'm like, this is going to be hard to get. I quickly grabbed it behind the neck and I let go of the bait. And lucky I got that quick enough. So
yeah.
if the fish is tasty enough, they're going to stay on it.
Or ideally have a net.
Yeah. Well, I don't really use nets on squid because...
no.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to point them away from you when they're inking.
You just grab it behind the neck and point it at your mate. No.
Grip of death.
Yeah.
Next one. Well done, Adrian, on your recent success on the SBT. I believe now that's 2 barrels over the 100-kilo mark. Several weeks ago, Jonah suggested if you were to land 2 fish of 100-kilo this season, you could claim victory in your tag at 100 quest.
Oh.
What are your plans? Do you claim victory now or do you tag the remaining fish required to reach 100?
Well, I think we kind of said we've got to be consistent with the tag 100 and that we had to tag those 2 barrels.
I honestly can't remember, but I think I did offer you a get out of jail clause, and you've decided that you're still going to get 100.
Yeah, I just stopped fishing for them.
Because there's more exciting things.
I've still got half a year to go.
So you reckon you get? So you want to tag two over 100?
Well, if I can tag two over 100, that's out of the clause. But I've also, if I don't do that, I've still got to catch 80 more.
Yeah, I think tag two over 100.
Yeah. Well, and whatever comes first, 80 school fish or...
Anyway, one of the barrels over 100 I caught, so you can't have that.
No, but...
I was on your boat.
Yeah. That's the rules of my tag thing. If I'm the skipper or if I won the fish in myself, it's on the tag card.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
By December.
You need to tag. Yeah. I think the only way you're getting out of this is tag two over 100.
Yeah.
That's the clause.
I think that's what we, kind of discussed.
I don't know. I've lost count.
Behind closed doors.
All righty. Last question. With Merck looking to offer an electric outboard, what is the horsepower equivalent intended market and how will it be powered? Is current battery tech / weight of... Wow, this looks too complicated. Life PO4. What's that mean?
That's the type of battery.
Oh, at the stage, we will see battery-powered runabouts with decent range. Oh, we sort of discussed
this. Well, I can kind of answer this because I'm in the Mercury. Okay for it, David.
No, that's what we sort of spoke about. I think the initial electric stuff will be in portables and that's where all the development is at the moment in just trying to figure out how you can get the battery technology to get range and, decent couple of hours.
Actually been on one yourself?
No, I haven't. No,
so you have no idea what you're getting?
I haven't been yet. So
would that be something happening in the near future?
Yeah, I'm going to the US in June.
On his junket.
See what happens there. And, we'll see it, within the next 12 months.
So. I have noticed there is a lot of full electric boats in the US, those pontoon-style boats and those party boats. They're all electric.
Yep.
And they've got them in the Yarra here as well, I believe it.
Yeah, they
in
do.
In Melbourne.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of range and speed they get.
Yeah. How do they got to be careful about getting electrocuted with the extension cable.
Do you get electrocuted in your boat or your car?
Low voltage, mate.
DC.
I think I should probably stop now. All right, let's wrap that one up on that great joke. Thanks very much for coming in, Dave. It was a pleasure to have you. Worth the wait. You were all I could ever have dreamed of.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No worries at all. Thank you, Adrian.
No, thanks, everyone, for another great show.
Are you going to play my outro this week? Because you didn't
last
week.
Oh, yeah, I can, actually. I
forgot about it. What's up, you bloody legends? Thanks for listening to Wind Against Tide again. That's it for another episode. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You'd be doing us a massive favour. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, King Kong, Donkey Kong.